Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I'm J.O. Covan, here as always with my producer and once upon a time a friend, Mike.
Still friend. Hello, Mike. Hello, J. I'm Mike. Hi, JL. Hi, audience. How you doing?
Wow, we really rattled him there.
So that happens two in a row.
That's what you got to do. Well, okay. Now he's revealing everything.
You're wearing the same shirt, JL.
Yeah, but I've done that before. That's
of course,
your complaint.
It's the only shirt you've ever worn on this fucking
that's
show.
That's how I let people know. They don't know
there's
if
been
I'm doing
five episodes of the show where
no, you're mistaking this for the short sleeve.
No, there's literally, I'm telling you, the footage, I cannot tell the footage apart because you're always where I literally go back and I lost footage because I think I deleted it off thinking it was something else because you were wearing the same
third party episodes. One of our best folks lost to history. So please listen to the audio of that because you'll never have the video. It was
sorry.
People loved that episode.
Change your fucking shirt.
People loved that episode. So sad. So sad that you would delete. Look at him. He deletes episodes like he's a tough guy. Look at him deleting episodes. So sad. So sad to see that. So sad. Well, we are doubling up because Thanksgiving is next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's time for family. It's time for feasting.
Yeah.
Part of me always wants to just go do a soup kitchen on holidays from now on. Not even for the charitable work, but just to be like, nope, can't hang out. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because who's going to question you? What are you doing? I'm going to a soup kitchen.
He'd rather spend Thanksgiving at a soup kitchen than with his family.
Well, that's yes. That the Irish and Italian genes are like he'd rather help the less fortunate. Why don't their family help them out? We're over here. Your mother's crying. Your mother can't believe. Well, this might be my last of Thanksgiving, and he's over there helping some. You know, people that, you know, if they would work a little harder, they could maybe feed their own selves instead of going off the government dime. Anyway, guys, Thanksgiving's next week, so we wanted to double up on episodes. So if I sound a little hoarse, it's because we're working real hard here to give you the content that you deserve.
I do have lozenges if you need them.
No, I'm good. Those are for pussies. but I wanted to talk. I wanted to get right into it this week. Put your back into it. Marvel fatigue, everybody. Because I think I am an example of somebody. Because there's, let's get this out of the way right now. From Lady Ghostbusters to any women-driven Marvel movie, to really women doing anything in the world. There's unfortunately this not always there's this reflexive misogyny, especially on the internet, that just comes out of its fucking cave.
Yes.
And you know, when Lady Ghostbusters, and I call it Lady Ghostbusters to distinguish it from the good Ghostbusters movies, when that had like a negative rating 5 months before it came out or something, you know, that's absurd,
right?
But the fact remains that that movie kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And then you're in a tough spot as somebody who wants to, if not an ally, just wants to be a decent person. It's very hard sometimes to have these genuinely feel like, hey, I didn't like the movie. I went to see it. Like, I didn't give it a review on YouTube or Rotten Tomatoes just because. I didn't do any of that. I just saw it and was like, yeah, that wasn't funny. And, but then you're on like, you're siding with the wrong side. It's like if Donald Trump, you know, said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to help Haitians. Their country is a total disaster. We're going to provide incredible amounts of aid, not AIDS. They already had that. We're going to provide a lot of aid for Haiti. Okay. Because I've talked to the blacks for Trump and they're concerned about it. And I looked into it very strongly, by the way, and I want to help. I want to help. So we're going to send an aid package. We're going to send some military assistance to get rid of these filthy gangs who are killing people, doing nasty things. And we're going to help rebuild the country and become a partner. Most people be like, oh, shit. All right. But some people might be like, man, it's a trick. Fuck him.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you, which it might be, let's be fair.
It's a trap.
But when you don't like a movie and already too many people have done like nasty things about it, you look like you're joining the wrong team.
Yes.
So that said, I think I'm a perfect person to speak of Marvel fatigue because I'm not a comic book guy. I'm still waiting for a Thundercats adaptation. Like, where's that IP as we've been talking about? Who's adapting the Thundercats? Because that's a chance for a bunch of HGH action heroes and sexy cat women. It has everything you need.
It's expensive to make.
Of course, but I feel like,
and
don't
it's
you?
It's not a home run IP the way that, like.
You don't think Thundercats, if done well, if in the right hands, is a home run?
I think.
Snarf?
No, I don't.
Wow.
Well, the He-Man.
Jack Black as Snarf?
The He-Man remake that they did, which was a cartoon, just fucking also just tanked.
Didn't even know about Kevin, it.
Exactly. See? I don't think it's a home run the way that, like, Batman is a home run. Even when they fuck up Batman, it makes up.
Okay,
money.
Fair anyway. Enough. I agree. Not a home run, but like Thundercats, I feel like is, I'm comfortable with you at the plate,
sure,
swinging. I'm comfortable with you taking a swing. I just feel like it is get Idris Elba jacked up to play Panthro, Jack Black as Snarf. Fuck it, Chris Hemsworth.
Jack Black as Scarf.
Snarf.
I remember. Yeah.
Lion-O, it's a Hemsworth project.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Chitara, a younger Angelina Jolie, I think, but whoever that is now, maybe still her. Maybe still her. And there was one other and I forget. But anyway, Thundercats ho. And by the way, speaking of Charlize Theron, first of all, Third Eye Blind, first album, phenomenal. It's basically all about Stephen Jenkins' breakup with Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Great work can come from a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And just see my album, Diamond Maker, 2008. And it's the album that changed me from happy-go-lucky impersonator comedian to diving the depths of my soul. And she had an ad that they've taken off the air, her great Dior ad. It ran for like 15 years. It was like Flashing Lights by Kanye playing, and it's just her getting out of like a big gold tub with bunch of other.
Yeah.
Incredible ad. Made me wish I wore women's perfume.
Yeah.
And I guess when Kanye came out as an anti-Semite, they took it off the air or changed the music. They changed the music in the commercial because Charlize Theron's still hot. Her hotness is not linked to anti-Semitism yet. But my question is, as a supporter of the Jewish people and of Israel's right to defend itself, have we gone too far if we're taking off the Flashing Lights video? The Flashing Lights ad.
You're really going at the Jew stuff the last couple of weeks.
I'm not going at it. It's a big issue. And I am. I think it's important, Mike, that allies not be afraid to speak out. Silence is violence. And I mean, it's not as much violence as what happened in Gaza or in Israel, but it's still violence. You know, silence is still pretty violent. It's not dead people violent, but it's violent. It's metaphorically violent, which in some ways is worse than literal violence. I think mm-hmm. you'd agree. wrap it up, JL.
Just figuring how you get this back to Marvel movies.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the ad, have we gone too far when we're taking off great ads just because Kanye's singing in them? And he's not even singing. He just produced that. They don't do any lyrics of his. I'll take that as a yes. Let's get back to Marvel fatigue. I am the guy that Marvel wants, okay, not just to be in their movies but to watch their movies.
Well, okay, this is where we're go ahead, dude, get your take off.
I am a movie fan who is not a comic book fan, but I like good movies and I like well done movies, whether they're art house or blockbusters. I love a good movie regardless of source material, or I love going to the movies. Marvel is basically been reasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, with Tom Cruise being the fifth in the last 3 years for people to go to movies, mm-hmm. the theater.
And Barbie.
And Barbie, yes. But this idea of Marvel fatigue, I think, is real. And maybe people were beating that drum early for some people's taste, but it's real because I have it. And I'm not a hater, all evidence to the contrary. I'm not actually a hater. I have said what was so impressive about what Marvel did from Iron Man to Endgame. Incredible.
Yes.
An incredible cinematic achievement.
Yes.
They made 20 movies or 21 movies that were almost entirely good at worst. There were a couple stinkers in there, but very few, and most were better than good.
And the ones that were bad, they were able to hide. Because you had another good one coming.
Like Iron Man 2 and Thor 2 seem to be two of the
Thor
best
Thor 2
examples.
Is the worst.
Right.
People seem to not like Iron Man 2. I like it. I just like watching Robert Downey Jr.
Hey, okay. Thing. Yeah. No, so anyway. Yeah.
sort of an Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing.
So, and yes, Downey Jr. got to that level where it's...
He's just a fucking star. You just want to watch him do anything.
His sarcastic banter is like Mariano Rivera's cut fastball.
Yeah.
He can go in a movie and only do that, and it's good. Now, yeah. Tropic Thunder, if not for Heath Ledger, Robert Downey Jr. is an Oscar winner for that.
Yes.
And if you go back and watch Tropic Thunder, it's a top 20 performance of my life. That performance is so good and so funny. He is as committed as his fictional method actor character.
As a quick aside, I don't want to derail this too much.
Hey,
but
man. Tell him what you want to tell him, Mike.
I'm such a Ben Stiller guy. He was like, in all the comedy movies of that era, he was always the guy that I liked.
Something
the most.
About Mary, probably my favorite comedy of all time.
Yeah, Zoolander, the Cable Guy. Like, he made such great. He had such a range too of just these like just really funny, outrageous movies. And when I saw the trailer for Tropic Thunder when I was probably like 17 or 18,
amen.
Immediately I was like, I cannot wait. It's Downey on his comeback. Everything was clicking for me. And then
how about Downey Jr. with Iron Man and Tropic Thunder in 2008?
Yeah, it was incredible. And wow. I was a Downey fan because of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
And the detergent, the fabric softener.
All right. But to make a long story short, when that movie was about to come out, because they used the word retard in it a bunch, not offensively, in my opinion, but my sister has Down syndrome. And my mom got some email from some like advocacy group for disabled people asking us to boycott the movie because it had the word retard in it. And my mom wouldn't let me go see the movie. And then we saw it later and my mom was like, yeah, I think they made a bigger deal out of this than it was actually, because it was like used, they weren't calling retarded people with Down syndrome or disabilities retards.
Right.
They were like making fun of the industry.
Right. The same way he was making fun of blackface. Right. It wasn't Robert Downey Jr. Did blackface. No, it's like the characters doing blackface. It was a complete satire of Hollywood.
Yes. Yes.
No, but I get that. I wouldn't be mad. That's the thing.
I was so pissed because I wanted to see that, and I love that movie.
But in this day and age, I think I think your mom made a sound decision, not a frantic one, it seems, and then reconsidered.
Yeah.
But I just think I think nowadays people would, you know, if your mom did that, instead of having at least understanding, it'd be like, woke.
Yeah, well, this was at the very beginning of it. Right. But I just say all that to say that I was bummed that I didn't get to see. I would have loved to have seen that in the theaters, and I didn't get a chance to. And I agree. Robert Downey Jr. is incredible in that movie. They're all great. Another Coogan. We talked about Coogan in the last episode.
Not enough, but to be honest, Coogan's not great enough in that Coogan movie. For me.
Yeah, he's great.
Or was Tropic Thunder 09? It might have been 09.
They're around the same time, though.
Because I had seen,
Iron Man might be 08, and then...
Iron Man is 08, and Hamlet 2 are 08, and I think this is 09, because I was as fired up for Coogan as I was Stiller down.
Dude,
Jr.
Coogan hooked me. I was like, man, I love this guy. He hasn't been in enough great stuff since.
I know.
I miss him.
He
had a great run, man.
He's fucking great.
Anyway, Marvel movies.
Yeah. And what I was going to say, Tropic Thunder, to wrap that up, I did see it in the theater, and humble brag, and what I still think about that movie is it's more like one of the greatest sketch shows ever.
Yeah.
It's like the sum of its parts. I always leave that movie going, why don't I like that movie more as a movie? But I know so many great performances and scenes. It almost feels like a great sketch show than a movie to me, because as a movie, I'm like, it's okay.
But that's Stiller. That's like his strength.
Yeah.
Stiller's the sketch guy.
Yeah, but Cable Guy is a great movie.
Of course, yeah.
Not just great scenes.
It's
of course. That has a more weave of... But written by Justin Theroux.
Cable Guy?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, Tropic Thunder. No shit.
Yeah.
He's a great writer, man. He also wrote Iron Man 2, I think. Or one of the Iron Mans. So, Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3.
So maybe
Iron Man 2.
So maybe he got lucky with Tropic Thunder is what you're saying.
I mean, Iron Man 2 made him more money.
Sure. But, and I got to tell you one last thing, since we're just going on another thread.
Yeah.
Justin Theroux in White House Plumbers on HBO.
Fabulous.
Oh my Fabulous. God. Get really him, good. Please get him an Emmy for like really an Emmy good. Nomination.
Yes.
The show was solid.
Yes. It tapers off at the end, but he's great.
So
yes.
good.
He's very good.
It's worth, like it's worth, just like yes. Tropic Thunder, even if you don't think it's a great movie, is worth it to watch for Robert Downey Jr. He's the Robert Downey yes. Jr. Like his G. Gordon, it is
incredible.
Insanely yeah, good.
He's very funny oh. in that show. He's very,
oh yeah. my God. Very, very good. Anyway, Marvel.
Yes.
Marvel fatigue. I think it's real because once they were done with the 20, then Disney Plus comes along, and Disney Plus is like, we got an addiction. And Disney Plus is like Disney's crackhead brother who's like, hey, you got any more of that content? Come on, man. I saw what you did. I saw how much money you made with Endgame, motherfucker. Give me some of that. You got series. You got WandaVision. You got Falcon. Nobody even give a fuck about the Falcon. Give me some Falcon. Loki, what's Loki doing? Give me, yo, I sucked your dick, Loki. I sucked your dick.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and we've got new movies. I remember when they announced like the new set of the Avengers, like who the new ones, and I was like, garbage lottery pick. This is they're lottery bound. This like Falcon and Mindbrain and Winter Soldier. I was like,
Mindbrain.
No, what's his name? About? Paul Bettany. What was Paul Bettany?
Vision.
Vision.
The Vision.
All I'm saying is, when they like, kind of showed who their new batch was, I was like, "Oh, this they're tanking for Wembanyama." But there was this flood, and then they made it all integrated, like you had to watch all the things. Whereas, like in that first batch, I was interested in Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America. I was already interested. Notice they didn't do Hawkeye a standalone until Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Because they knew they were going, God, and then
they could have.
But then Doctor Strange, it was like, well, that's like your 13th movie. You've built up so much goodwill. I'll see a guy I don't really fucking know.
Yeah.
But then they've squandered some of that goodwill because it feels like it's all secondary and third tier characters, and they're trying to weave it all together and then making it like requirement, like, oh, you haven't seen season two of, you know, you got to see WandaVision, then you've got to see this and that, and then you got to see this movie because in the end credits, haven't seen Eternals? No, I heard it was terrible. We got to see the Eternals because there's this one thing in the Eternals that, and I think it's really strange, like, and there's other things that we can get into, but in the aggregate, I don't know how you can deny Marvel fatigue isn't a little bit real.
May I?
Yes.
Okay. Marvel fatigue, in my opinion, is
this
real.
This episode is going to be sort of our Loki because we're like letting him take center stage, just a little second tier action.
I do agree and believe that Marvel fatigue is real, but I believe that Marvel fatigue is real because Disney is sort of doing it to themselves. I think everything that you are saying is true. They've spread themselves, and preface this, you're not a comic book guy, and right. You're like kind of like in and out on these Marvel movies.
But I was all in for a while because they kept delivering. Like, man, these are like, it's not that I need to see it because I'll miss it. It was like, no, you've got me because I want to see these movies on their own. It's a bonus that they're connected, but you've made enough really good ones that I'm like, well, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, like Tom Cruise makes a Mission Impossible movie. I'm seeing it.
Right. I am a comic book reader still to this day. I read comic books, Marvel specifically, mostly Marvel and Batman. However, what happened? So, number one, Marvel does no longer makes movies with big movie stars as the lead, other than Cumberbatch, who was like when they make a Doctor Strange movie now, he's still
who also, by the way, signed with Brazzers recently.
What? Because there's a cum pun?
I mean, his name's Cumberbatch.
Oh my God. You interrupted the flow for that.
Yes.
Great. But Shang-Chi was they like made a big play on that, and that guy now, Sim Liu, is like, he's, you know, Shang-Chi broke him. He became like a in the Barbie movie and stuff. These people now get their careers because of the Marvel movies, right, as opposed to the beginning
of Marvel, other than Evans, because Evans and Hemsworth, I think, were cast, and then they kind of blew up. Evans had done some stuff, but...
No, the real ones, no, not another teen movie.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. He had done some stuff, but he wasn't like a movie star, really. Downey was. He was like in the midst of a comeback.
Yes.
So you have... And then, obviously, you get Scarlett Johansson and Gwyneth Paltrow, and you have a big A-list celebrities and actors that are in these movies to kind of start...
Samuel L. Jackson,
Mark Ruffalo. Like there's a cavalcade of people that you want to see in a movie.
I like that Ed Norton walked away because he didn't want to be the Hulk. And it was like, that's that big, I used to have sex with Salma Hayek energy.
Yeah.
You need that to walk away.
Pass on the MCU.
To walk away from Marvel, you better have fucked Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
So I would walk away from every, I would literally be like, and that's a wrap on life.
Yeah. I'm done.
I'm out.
So I think.
Walk off grand slam.
The first decade of Marvel, like you said, they're building towards this whole big thing and you're emotionally invested. I was so emotionally invested as a fan that during Endgame in the movie theater, I was crying when they got to the point. And it's one of the few movies in the theater that I've cried at. And it was when they were all about to go take on Thanos.
Let me tell you something.
On your left cap, I was crying.
I'll give you some props. I didn't cry. Yeah. Not a bitch, but
I'm more new wave.
It was almost like I wanted to cry for my friends. It was like, this isn't, but I can appreciate this because when Captain America catches the fucking hammer.
Yeah.
That's done so well. Yeah. Like Endgame, Infinity War.
He didn't say Avengers Assemble until that moment. Which is obviously in the comics.
Oh, okay.
Avengers Assemble!
But it's
the rallying cry.
It's such a... It was... Those last two movies were so good.
Yeah.
That it was just like... And I knew they wouldn't. I knew they wouldn't walk away in any way. They would just lean in more. But it's like, lean in less. Say less, as the kids would say.
So no, all right. So here's what happens. Post-Endgame. They mm-hmm. do get stretched thin, like you said. And truthfully, again,
when the guy's name is Cumberbatch, you know you're gonna get stretched thin.
To your point, everything that you opened this about with the female Ghostbusters and all that stuff, this is why this is so difficult. Because so when you just said the movies are you're the audience that they want mm-hmm. in this post Endgame phase of Marvel, you are not the audience that they want, and that's kind of the problem with what they've done right now. Part of the reason that this first decade of these movies was so successful was because you hooked the fanboys in first.
Yeah.
They were like fanboy approved, and then they sort of like mushroomed out from there. And then they became big pop culture sensations because it was sort of like the fucking comic book guys were like, they're doing this right finally. Someone's taking this source material seriously. And it's not like Batman with nipples and like all this like weird shit that ruined.
Cumberbatch would have been great as Batman with nipples.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry.
So you have a decade where they're taking the source material super seriously. And then I think the studio starts thinking we're just too big to fail. And they had a lot of goodwill with like Marvel audience members who are like hardcore, because a lot of people will go see those movies just because they're the big movie.
Right.
But then when the buzz starts getting bad, because Eternals fucking flops and is bad. And then the Ant-Man movie flops and is bad. And now you have Ms. Marvel. Like, leading up to all of this, there's a big Variety piece that comes out a couple days before the Marvels. Because Disney was quarantining the Marvels. They weren't letting any critics see it until like a day before the movie. And so there were no reviews. Mm-hmm. So nobody was able to talk about how bad the movie was. But the internet, because there's guys on YouTube that have millions of followers that are just like, they're comic book dudes. And some of them, to your point about Lady Ghostbusters, are ostensibly sexist and racist. And their view of Disney sort of pushing an agenda, a social and racial agenda of inclusivity, is sort of like the turning point for them as where things went bad. And I personally do think that that is a factor. Because I do think they started prioritizing inclusivity over the story, mm-hmm. which is usually the death of all of these things. They don't. That's just a bad formula. Whereas, like Black Panther, the first one worked because the movie is awesome. Like
it's a Coogler movie.
Right.
You have two awesome stars in it, Michael B. Jordan and Boseman. Like,
and just for the record, not as good as The Dark Knight, though, in case anybody out there, and I know there are people, I just got to get that on the record. It's a long-standing feud.
People think that Black Panther's better than Dark Knight.
I have plenty of friends, people I call friends, who they've decided BP is...
I don't think it is, but I do think that, like, so, like, formula for that success of that movie is movie's awesome, you have movie stars in it, and you have a great director and a good script. And then it sort of gets this momentum behind it that it's, like, an primarily all black cast.
Is it racist, like, that I thought Andy Serkis gave the best performance in Black Panther?
I don't think it's racist, but it might be controversial. He was good in it.
What a voice. Yeah. What a voice on that guy.
To wrap it all up, it is difficult because you get into this position where you don't want to, it does become a little difficult as an adult watching these movies. You just kind of see that Disney kind of worked their magic on it. And now it does feel like it is the priority is now not to get our money. It's to try to get younger. It seems like younger female.
And don't get me wrong. That's okay. Like, I realized that halfway through what I was saying, that at 44, I'm not young at heart, but I'm still slightly immature in my lifestyle and tastes.
Yes, of course.
No. So I'm saying I'm still somebody who will go to comic book movies if they're good. So it's not like I'm like, well, they don't need a 44-year-old man anymore, but they were fine with me from 29 to 40. So a lot has changed since then, but you know, Ant-Man I watched on Disney Plus because I heard it was bad.
Oh, it's so bad. It's one of the worst.
The little guy who crushes into a big head, I kind of laughed at.
Okay, great. Is that worth seeing a movie?
MODOK or whatever?
MODOK? No. Oh, God. They've butchered MODOK. MODOK's like a real villain in the comics, right. And they turned him into a fucking joke.
Right. For me, but it did make me chuckle.
Yeah.
The Eternals I still haven't watched because I just was like, I heard it's not good. Yeah. Like, nobody said it was good, and I didn't even hear the kind of wokeism complaints. I just heard it was not good.
Yeah, and I think that the wokeism complaints, they're really going hard at it on YouTube. I think there's a point to it, but I do think that what really it comes down to is that
you can tell they're racist because when Black Panther came out, which I can admit was obviously a very good movie.
Yeah.
It was silence. It wasn't some of those corners didn't have enthusiasm, but they knew they'd look stupid to be like, what a pandering movie. It's no.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who's like,
it rocked.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So that's how you know there's that racial, because it's like, well, we'll just wait till they mess up with a person of color and then we'll rip it.
Dude, there's certain guys, like, I can point you, because I did a lot of research once that Variety story came out, but by the time you hear this, it'll be like about 3-4 weeks ago. But there's a lot of guys on the internet where you listen to them and it's like, they'll make sort of a point about where Marvel's at. And then they kind of nosedive into a little bit of like, all right, that's a little bit of a racist spin on this or sexist spin on this. So I don't think that they're wrong that has become a priority for Disney. And I think that's what the issue is. It's like these comic book movies in the past, they stop taking the source material seriously. They stop having respect for the audience because this Marvel's movie, I haven't seen it. I've just watched a lot of like story reveals and spoilers. It seems like a disaster and it seems like a mess. But you know who loves story structure and movies that are built the right way and stories that are told well?
Critics?
Fucking nerds, dude.
Oh, nerds.
So you're like, you can't turn your back on the people that got you here, because those are the people, the people that Marvel Studios has kind of turned on are the people that when you go on YouTube that are just like literally like 30-year-old men with braces that have comic book collections. Like, they do still want to see these movies, and you can't completely turn your back on them because they're the ones that are going to go on the internet and be like, this fucking movie sucks. Right. Everybody else is just going to be apathetic.
Well, I think and the one movie that I did see that I really enjoyed in the theater, because I think I saw Doctor Strange 2 in the theater and didn't care for it.
It's fine.
And that was a post-Endgame movie.
Yeah.
And that's where I started to kind of sour, because I was like, I didn't really enjoy it.
Yep.
And then...
Stop caring where the story's going.
Right.
Yeah.
And the only one that I've seen since then in the theater was Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I loved.
I still didn't see that one.
I loved it. because it was almost like, oh, this is still a story from that first world. Yeah. And it's still got the sense of humor and charm, and they've upped it. There's like a raised emotional level to this one. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I sat there with Laura and like, we loved it.
Yeah.
So it's not like they can't still do good, but it was like, then we saw a preview for the Marvels. Sorry. We saw a preview for the Marvels, and this goes to my point, but then I'll defend some of the people defending it. I just watched it and was like, that doesn't look good. I didn't go like, great women.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like Captain Marvel. When I saw Captain Marvel, that was one of the first ones I saw because I was like, well, apparently I have to see it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it looked good.
Yeah.
But I saw it because I was invested then and we were getting so close. They were like, you got to see it for Endgame.
You need to know. Yeah, right.
So I was like, well, then I'm going to see it. But I don't like being told too many times by a studio that I have to see a movie or else I won't enjoy the one I want to see.
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit of like a ransom situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing Captain Marvel, not thinking it stunk, but I did not really. I was just like, well, I did my homework.
Yes.
Or I ate my Marvel vegetables. Right. Now may I have my Endgame dessert?
Yes.
And yep. I'm not going to do that again. So if I see a preview.
Well, you're not going to do it again over and over and right. You're not going to do it 7 times in a row.
And the shows, as much as they try to make them compound, I've been mostly indifferent or disappointed by
they've
the shows.
Been bad. Secret Wars is really bad.
I was already done by Secret Wars.
She-Hulk is probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
I watched one episode of She-Hulk.
It's awful.
And I hated it.
Oh, it's awful. And it's unwatchably
bad. This is the thing. For all the people who might think I'm a hater, I wanted to watch She-Hulk.
Me too.
I
wanted to like She-Hulk. I gave it the whole run. And I was like, at some point, this has to get good because it's Marvel. Why would they release an 8-episode thing that's bad? And they just fucked me. It was like, what's the worst show you can think of top of your head? It was like Tommy Wiseau bad. Like, it was so unwatchably bad. I was like, that was a moment too where I was just like, this might be it for me. I don't know I can come back
like,
to this.
Like, the first episode, I was just like, this is so horribly unfunny trying to be funny.
Awful, awful, awful.
So, and once again, for all the jokes I may make online, I like She-Hulk, there was no reason for me to watch it.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't connected to anything. I was just like, oh, okay. Well, they probably put a lot of money into this. And she's an attorney. I bet this will be like very different and kind of fun.
They publicly said they didn't have any writers in the room that knew how to write anything related to courtroom drama or courtroom. They didn't hire somebody that was like, there was
I'm right here.
Exactly.
Jeez.
They didn't think
more legally experienced, barely legal, but legally experienced than these writers.
Yes.
But like WandaVision, I remember seeing that and thinking the first half of WandaVision is why it got nominated for all those awards. It was so creative.
Yeah.
The second half reverted into a typical Marvel story I didn't really care about. But that first half was like a real creative flex.
Yeah, and you didn't know where the show was going.
Right.
It was kind of just like, what the fuck is actually happening here?
Right.
The next first episode is the 50s, second episode is the 60s. You're just like, huh? Where is this going? You're intrigued. You're interested.
But the only show I liked, and I have no idea if you liked it or not, but the only show I actually liked, but I came away really enjoying it, was Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I did. I mean, I liked WandaVision. The early stuff I enjoyed. Even Hawkeye. Like, Hawkeye was my favorite, like one of my favorite comic characters.
Oh. Hawkeye to me was like fine.
It was fine. They could have done something more interesting to it, but I understood that there were, in part of that phase, they were introducing, like, they can't keep these actors forever.
Right.
So it's like Renner played the character for 10 years. Like, it's time for him to kind of hang it up, and that's
fine.
Well,
now it really is time to hang it up.
Why?
Got run over by a snowplow.
Oh, you're right.
Maybe they should fear you. That's from Godfather 3, by the way. That might be a recurring sound bite, but that's from Godfather 3. But like Falcon and Winter Soldier, what I found hilarious about it, I thought that was actually like really good. Like that's the only TV thing that I've been enthusiastic about that they've done. But what's hilarious is that they nominated Don Cheadle. They submitted Don Cheadle for an Emmy. And he's in that series for less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, he's not.
But there's the older black man who has numerous really good scenes.
Yeah.
That's definitely who was supposed to be nominated for supporting actor.
Somebody like wrong?
yes, I think somebody like fucked racist up. Or stupid submitted Don Cheadle. He's in the show for what amounts to like a guest cameo.
He opens the show and then he's gone.
The other guy has like numerous heartfelt, emotional, dramatic scenes that are like Emmy tailored. Nothing. It's a very sad, hilarious epilogue to that. But I think with the Marvels, I see a lot of my friends who are big time Marvel fans, and it's a difficult place to be in, because especially among like Black friends of mine, where you see a kind of combining of like feeling under attack, both as like fans of just the comic book work that Disney has done, and from the white bro haters who are like indiscriminately firing, not to use a nasty analogy, but like indiscriminately, like fucking Marvel's woke bullshit. Fuck you, Muslim fucking blacks, fuck you.
Right.
And it's like your instinct is, of course, to be like defensive for many reasons. Like you've enjoyed this work for a long time. And now that it's like Black women, Muslim women, now it's time to turn the gun on Marvel after all they've done. But I think what I see in those reviews is a little bit, you can kind of, when you read a reviewer, it's like, hey, I thought it was pretty good. There's already an admission in that where it's like,
yeah,
but you usually think these things are great.
Yeah.
The pretty good is like, you're on the team.
Yeah.
We are a team. We are a Marvel team, Black, white, Asian, Latino. We are a Marvel team. We're all working towards the same goal. At good work.
But that's the problem.
Yes.
That's the issue, because like again, and woke as a word, I really think is such a stupid, usually when someone uses that, they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
So I don't like to use that as a word, but like to me, the if you're defining it,
I use it almost the way it's being used by the Bill Maher's and the Fox Newses.
Yeah, and you're using it more for comedic effect.
And also as a descriptor, like I'm speaking in their voice, my own.
Right. But I think that like if I was defining woke, I would say that like it's when the type of content that's being made, whether it's a TV show or a movie or whatever, sort of uses the story to service a specific identity. I don't know if you want to say politics, but representation is sort of prioritized over story and not the other way around.
Right. If they were being honest, they would show Miss Marvel in Jersey City celebrating when the towers came down on 9/11.
No, and actually,
Trump saw Miss Marvel celebrating.
Miss Marvel is actually an example of when it like works.
The show? Like, did you like the show?
I didn't really watch the show, but like everybody is talking about how great the kid is.
Yes, during everybody my train like, travels. And now I think she's not like, I felt a little weird because I was like, I think she's older in the Marvels, because I'm like looking at her in the Marvels, but then she watching her in the show going.
You think she's older in her show?
No, I'm kidding. I'm saying in the show, what's she like, 16? Well, not yet. Yeah, are you of age in the Marvels? Wonderful. Love that movie. No, she's the Marvels. I watched that show because I had nothing else to download. And I wanted to see it to be like, hey, maybe the Marvels maybe looked like a shitty preview. But what if I like Miss Marvel? Then maybe it increases my desire to see the Marvels. And the show was like,
I think it's for high school kids, but it's,
yeah,
she's still good.
But I accepted that. I accepted that it was more like 16-year-olds will like this.
Yes.
But it was pretty good. And there were a few episodes that I was like, this was pretty entertaining.
Right.
Like, in other words, She-Hulk, I watched one episode and was like, no.
Right.
This looks terrible.
Yeah, She-Hulk's the worst.
But Miss Marvel, I was like, well, I'm on a train. I got all this time. But I was like, I'll watch the next. Like,
yes.
Like, I could have easily just deleted and read more. But I was like, this is good enough.
It's pleasant.
To keep watching. Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, some of the episodes were actually like pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But the Marvel, you know, I may still see it. You know, I have like free tickets to the movie. I may just out of curiosity as an influential cultural commentator.
It's really from everything that I've heard and seen, it's like it's not just bad. It's just like a mess. Like they've tried, they did all these reshoots. The director like left early.
It's
like a fucking disaster.
I've heard differently, but I also, and I just have to be honest, no offense to my friends and fans who are listening who did genuinely like it, there is a tone that I see when you see Black Panther or when you see Endgame or when you see Guardians of the Galaxy and the Marvels. Like, so you can say you liked all four, but there is that kind of like, well, you know, yes, Tim is a Rhodes Scholar and we're very proud of him, but like, Jeffrey like got a B plus or a B minus in math, which he was failing last year. And like, that's good too. And we're proud of that too. There's like that kind of a tone a little bit in some of the positivity I see around the Marvels. I think we should take a very quick break right here and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
And now, from the Slickback Studios newsroom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, here is Scott Pelley with a Rain on Your Parade special report.
Hello, everybody. I'm Scott Pelley on assignment from 60 Minutes here on Rain on Your Parade with this week's Punchdown of the Week. Earlier this week, when Tim Scott, the South Carolina senator, withdrew from the presidential race, JL posted a tweet that read, "Tim Scott and Mike Pence," and in it was a picture of Rocky and Apollo hugging in half shirts on the beach, implying that both of these men were possibly gay. And a fan of JL's replied, "Will you get off your homophobia?" And that's the Punchdown of the Week. JL, do you have anything to say about this?
Well, thank you, Scott, for joining us again. And yes, I thought it was very interesting that this person didn't understand the joke.
Yeah.
The joke was not making fun of the gay community. It was a joke about two hard right senators. Excuse me. One a hard right vice president, the other a hard right senator, who constantly legislate against and speak against the rights of LGBTQ people, but who also both give a "he doth protest too much" vibe, one with his wife mother, the other with a fake girlfriend showing up to a debate. So that is more of a let's make fun of these men because of what they do, not of who they are. And it's very odd. That was the first time I have been posting Mike Pence gifts for years. And very odd. I don't know if this person is somebody who recently had someone come out in their family and is just kind of at a heightened sensitivity, but this is a longtime fan who's like liked and commented on that stuff. And it's one of those things where I'm like, if you think I'm a homophobe, and that offends you, then you probably shouldn't be watching my comedy. Now you're wrong. That's the problem is you're wrong. And that, I think anybody gets, and I had several, not that I need co-signers, but it always helps when like several gay fans were like, "I'm a gay man and I get what JL's doing here. He's not making fun of gay people. He's mocking the doth protest too much," and not somebody who's just in the closet and uncomfortable. It's the whole point is that they're being like hypocrites and harming that community. That's why it's fun to like be like, "Hey, you guys don't want to be gay." It's the fact that you don't want to be gay, not the fact that you might be gay. It's the fact that you work so hard in negative ways. Never had to explain that before, but thanks to the work of Scott Pelley and myself, I did. I just got a watch your clock sign from a producer in here, kind of rude. So let's go to this week's comedy review, shall we? I'm going to stretch this one out long because I know how much Mike loves comedy talk. But
see how much tape we have.
I watched another special. This is the second week in a row with an Amazon Prime comedy special.
Mm.
Trevor Wallace, Pterodactyl. Now, Trevor Wallace, I wanted to watch because he is a very popular TikToker, like huge, like I think 10 million followers or something like that on TikTok.
He's rife adjacent.
Yeah, but the thing is, at least in his area of expertise, he does funny stuff, I think. I find a lot of his, not all of them, but I find enough of his videos, there's effort and they're funny. Like many of them are funny. And so I said, well, this is where the algorithm rubber meets the artistic road, a stand-up hour. And his was an hour and 4 minutes. So I said, okay, well, he's doing an hour. He only talked to the crowd twice.
Wow.
Which is impressive because I think I think 9 minutes into Matt Rife. No, I don't know when Matt Rife talks to the crowd in his new one. I haven't watched it yet. That'll be our next review. Ooh, what a tease. That might be the whole episode, Mike. You might have to gear up for that one in December. But I'm sure he talks to the crowd a lot in his special.
Just but, opens the show. What's up, y'all? What do you want to talk about?
Oh my God, y'all. I'm so, wow. I feel truly blessed. Okay, time for me to do my black voice now. But I watched Trevor Wall's Pterodactyl. It's on Amazon Prime also. And like I watch a lot of things with a lot of skepticism on this one, because I go, I had heard things a few years ago that this guy, once he blew up on TikTok, you know, you get thrust right into doing lots of stand up. Mm-hmm. It's the place where you can get paid for live shows. And I had a friend who had said, like, yeah, I heard people saying, well, it doesn't translate. Okay. So I went in skeptical. What I'm going to say about this is I laughed at parts, for sure. I laughed at parts, and it was, he did an hour. He talked to the crowd very little.
What a review.
No. But I'm starting off slow, because I feel like I would be wrong. What he's doing, I can't blame him for. I don't know how long he's been doing stand-up, but what he is doing is delivering a decent hour of stand-up. Mm-hmm. No crime in that. A lot of people like it. He's got a lot of fans. They want to support him. And I laughed at some stuff. His description of dating a woman who pronounces the L in salmon really had me laughing. Most of it had me kind of going, nah, not bad. No, it's all right. Okay, that's pretty generic. Okay, I know what you're doing. You're doing a little too many. You're relying on a little too many gimmicks. A lot of misdirection. Like a lot, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I get, now it's so predictable. I know you're going to go left. You're setting me up right, left. You're setting me up right, left. But it's the kind of thing where I go, I'm trying to maybe loosen up a little bit, where I go, you know what? He's got a lot of fans. He does make funny stuff. This is a chance for them to see him live. And he didn't fall on his face. It was fairly competent, somewhat annoying, if I'm being honest. Like, it's a little, he's still, I think, you know, what happens is a lot of these guys, they get famous and their act is really not organic yet. It's more like, okay, I wrote a bunch of jokes. Some friends helped me out with stuff. I watched a lot of comedy. People like black entertainers a lot. So I might just like, what's up, hurry? Okay. Like, not, and now don't get me wrong, not to the Matt Rife level. Okay. We're not doing full on Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell here, but it's enough where it's like, I can see, you know, the way a chef might be able to pick out like ingredients. I can see when somebody's still finding their footing and kind of acting a part of a stand-up comedian. But I was still pleasantly surprised, because this felt like it was tailor-made for me to be like, this dude is fucking garbage. Mm-hmm. And instead I was like, I laughed some, your fans are happy. And I didn't feel like sometimes I'll watch a special like this and be like, this dude's fans are fucking stupid. I felt more like, eh, they may not be like super savant comedy audiences, but like, they're not laughing at like everything, and they're not like guffawing at like completely idiotic stuff. So it's more like this comes back to my main complaint. I think I talked about a few weeks ago about the Ralph Barbosa special, which I did like, and I thought was better. It's the idea of these guys get big and they get to develop as comics in the spaces that used to be reserved for developed comics. And so that's an industry problem. But the fact is, I watched it. I didn't like it as much as Dina Hashem's. I think that would go without saying.
Shout out Dina.
But it was, it wasn't the worst thing. And I for a social media influencer, to kind of put something that was like, I can see why your fans would like it. I didn't hate it. So it's like, I feel like I come in with such baggage watching these that somebody without my baggage might watch it and be like, I thought it was goofy and dumb. But I'm coming in like, this dude's probably going to ruin stand up. And then I leave and go, I laughed at some stuff, and he's competent, and he did the, you know, it was all right. And I don't mean that as a slight. I mean that as like, you know, this guy could have like years from now, like, a much better special in him. So we'll see. Mike is now laughing either because I've been talking for too long, or I'm not blowing the microphone, or whatever complaint he has. So everybody, thank you for listening. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida, February 9th and 10th. ticket link will be up soon. I've got my Patreon. If you want to get a lot of bonus stuff and want to support what I do, hit up JL Covan on Patreon. And other than that, I hope you're doing well.
Happy
Thanksgiving. You have a great week. This will be going up after Thanksgiving, but thanks, Mike.
Hope you had a good one.
Thanks for keeping up the illusion of you know, I wear the same shirt so that they can't tell that it was filmed all at once. They never know when I film these. That's the point. But you've destroyed that too. So see you next Thursday, everybody.